is Thomas with LibertarianProgressive.com, blogtalkradio.com/election channel. And today we have an interview with John McCarthy, who's an independent candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in District Number 2 in Oklahoma. And so we look forward to this interview with John. And what we do is interview independent third-party candidates who are going to be on the ballot this November 8th. Remember, that's Election Day. And for Congress, that comes once every 2 years, and that's very important. And John has a unique campaign. He's running for Congress on a platform. Well, here, let me just let him explain it. John, welcome to blogtalkradio.com/election channel. How are you today, sir?
Good, Thomas. How are you?
Doing great. Great. And so there's a couple reasons I like your campaign. One is because you're an independent, and that's what we interview is independent third-party candidates. Two is that you're the only independent or third-party candidate in your specific district. And actually, three, you do have a specific platform that you know, needs more attention and needs a solution. And can you expand on that, sir?
Sure.
That in your own words?
Yeah. Sure, sure. Well, obviously, you know, we've had cancer here for the last 75 years.
And you're not talking about the corrupt politics in our politics. You're talking about actual cancer, right?
Yes, I'm talking about the health issue of cancer. And, we've had this for about 75 years now. And there really has not been, it's been basically the same old approach. I can tell you that cancer right now, it's about $125 billion a year industry. For about the last 75 years, it's been the same old approach, which is what I call the cut, poison, and burn approach. And that may not sound too great, but that's essentially what it is. You know, they're going to come in there, they're going to take the, you know, they're going to cut the tumor out of you, and then they're going to put administer chemotherapy and radiation. And then at that point, you know, they're going to tell you you probably got about 5 years to live. And that's, you know, it's been the same old song and dance up there for about, you know, for about the last 75 years. And I think this approach is outdated. Chemotherapy, that was an approach that was basically developed, after World War II, you know, through the use, they combated through the use of mustard gas. And and ever since then, you know, they've used that. And with radiation, you know, it's basically an approach that puts, you know, high voltages of electricity to your body. You know, when you go in there with your local hospital or whatever, and you might get an X-ray, that's going to probably put about 100,000 volts of electricity to your body. And you know, of course, when you do, when you go in for a typical radiation treatment, you know, that's there, it's probably about 6 million volts of electricity to your body. And I guess the good news now is that they finally, God bless the researchers, because there's some good people out there that are looking to, you know, rid the world of this disease that we know is cancer. And I think number one, you know, I think obviously everybody, and which the federal government really doesn't do, well, we have to start focusing on our health and putting more issues on staying healthy, you know, throughout our life. And of course, you know, you hear some things up in Washington, and you say, oh, they're going to do this or do that. Well, those programs have basically been unsuccessful. And it all really kind of has to start, you know, in the local community level, and trying to get people involved with it. So, I think that the number one, you know, we have to realize that cancer, you know, it's a disease that, you know, has been around for a long time, and it affects people, you know, of all ages. You know, there's probably about 10,000 cases of, childhood cancer every year. And some of those stories, you know, really are heartbreaking. Some people might want to go on Google and Google Live Like Bella, you know, a 4-year-old girl, you know, whose life is taken because of this, who is, you know, administered chemotherapy and radiation. And it's not, you know, I mean, maybe 50 or 75 years ago, that was an approach that you know, could have worked. But right now it's not really doing, you know, what it needs to do. So it's bad. You know, I also think that we have to kind of look at, you know, what kind of vitamins are we taking? You know, we hear all this stuff about EpiPen and, you know, the FDA and, you know, prescription pills and things like that. But we really need to, you know, I really think that the whole medicine industry needs to be revolutionized. And we need, you know, we need to bring modern medicine into this, you know, into the year 2016 is what we're in. I think we're living in basically back in the 50s with a lot of this, you know. We've done some good things with the heart and, you know, a lot of things like that. But as far as cancer and, you know, with things like that, we have not had much medical advance at all. So, you know, I think that, and I also think that, you know, we need to, you know, especially modern medicine, you know, we go in there to our doctor, and they don't ever, you know, well, I guess they do test your vitamin levels. That's not true. But, you know, there needs to be more focus on our vitamin levels and to make sure that we're getting, you know, some things like that, because I think a lot of that is, you know, it's preventative medicine and things. You know, like, you know, when we get older, our body, you know, I think the first thing, especially somebody in their 40s or 50s who's probably, you know, we're all prone to getting cancer, because at some point in our lives, you know, the chances of us getting cancer are pretty good. And so, you know, that's the first point that everybody needs to recognize. You might be in your 20s, you might be in your 30s, you might be in your 40s, you know, and you say, well, this doesn't affect me, I'm not worried about it. Well, at some point, if you live long enough, you know, and the older you get, the more chance, you know, the higher probability of you getting cancer, you know. So you have to look at the whole picture. And I think that most people that are in you know, that go to these things, that, you know, that does cancer, you know, has to kind of realize that they have a good chance of getting cancer. But when we get older, we tend to get less sun. So, you know, we need to take a vitamin D3 supplement. That's the first thing you need to do, is check your vitamin D3 level. And, you know, and then the second question, you know, that we all should ask ourselves, especially as we get older, you know, it is, you know, is our body going to be alkaline or acidic? You know, an alkaline body, you know, that more or less incorporates fruits and vegetables into your diet. Many people of your listeners probably have not taken your pH level or anything like that. Your pH level is basically, you know, you get a strip and you stick it underneath your tongue. And it's a scale of, like, I think, 6, 3 to 10. And, you know, the higher it is, the more alkaline your body is. It indicates, and it's kind of a greenish color. So the more greenish color, the more alkaline your body is. And what that basically says is that you're basically at less of a risk to getting cancer. Now, you know, on the other side, you know, of course, if you have sugar, you know, if you're drinking Cokes, which are full of sugar, processed sugar, or you're having or high carb substances, you know, then you also have a higher chance of getting cancer, because your body is more acidic. So, you know, I think that's something at my age, I'm 47, that I've recently kind of incorporated my diet, because both of my parents passed away with cancer. So and they both passed away, and both of their cancer curiously, and that started out in their breast. So, you know, I think, you know, if you're at a high risk for cancer, and you're especially in your 40s or whatever, you know, that's something that you really kind of need to look at. You've got to really check your diet. You've got to check your vitamin D3 level. And, you need to make sure you're a good quality vitamin supplement as well, not just something, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but not just something at your local drugstore or something like that, because a lot of those things aren't worth the paper it's written on.
Something with, like, 50 vitamins and all the micronutrients, not something with just, like, the 10 most popular vitamins. John, I have a couple of follow-up questions for you here, and Now, people can find out more information at McCarthy4Congress2nddistrict.com. And now, I want to ask you some questions about prevention, some questions about the cure. I mean, what seems common sense about sugar and carbohydrates, that's something recently, or actually a long time ago, I decided to quit drinking sodas completely and haven't had hardly any since then. And carbohydrates is sugar. Like, people don't know, if you have pasta, you have a lot of like these refined breads. They don't look like sugar, but your body turns them into sugar later. So you might as well just be eating stuff that's going to magically turn into sugar later. So as many carbohydrates, as much sugar as you can, especially sodas and stuff like that, you can get out of your diet, the better off you're going to be. I mean, two major strategies is, one, don't give your body anything that cancer likes, and two, give your body stuff that cancer hates, and that would be, a lot of fruits and vegetables. And I just have to recommend one thing. There's this guy, he's been on like Ricky Lake, lots of shows. He has a YouTube channel. It's called Chris Beat Cancer. He has a blog, and he has a lot of good resources. It's Chris Beat Cancer, and so check him out. But so prevention, and there's been lots of technologies where they can kind of zone in on certain kinds of cancers and stuff like that. And what do you think about, like the FDA? What about people who already have cancer or have been diagnosed with it? And supposedly we all have it dormant in us, but just something, makes it expand. What about like FDA approvals, people that want to take experimental technologies? Do they have that right? And should some of those new things be fast-tracked? What's holding it up? So let's talk about the experimental stage and people's rights about what they should be able to do. What do you think about things like that? We'll start out with that.
Well, my initial thoughts on it, I think on something like this, or of course, if I'm elected to office and if I'm up there, I'm going to get, micromanage this process as far as talking to these biotech companies, finding out what works, what doesn't work, and, if the FDA isn't, moving things, the way that I want them to, I'm going to question them as to why what's the hold up here? Why aren't we getting this done? And things like that. I think that, it's not necessary. I think that there's some good small biotech companies. I think that these biotech companies, maybe the ones that aren't on the market right now that are trying to come up, I think there's a lot of good companies like that are trying to come up. And I would like to, have like three or five companies up there like that, these small ones. I don't want the big ones that are already up there. I want them on a smaller level. And there's academic research institutions that do too, like Stanford and Cold Harbor Springs and things like that. And of course, to get maybe get them involved in the process. But what you do is you vet these people real good. You find out what's working and what's not working, and of course you hold the funding, on what it's at the beginning of the stage. Okay, if you want to continue funding, you're going to have to show some positive results, or you're not going to get funding. And I think that I don't know too much about the National Institute of Health, but I want on something like this, I want, more direct access to find out what is going on, what's not going on, what's working and what's not working. And so, I don't want the National Institute of Health coming up to me and saying, hey, these companies right here are good or what have you, because, obviously up in Washington, D.C., you're dealing with some very big, powerful influence. And I mean the type of influence that is up in Washington D.C. is overwhelming. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, sometimes I'm not going to name any names, but there's some lobbyists and some things up there like that they can just make one phone call and pretty much get what they want. So that's why I want the smaller companies out there that, you know, are looking to get this done. I want to reward them, but I want results. And, you know, and when we're talking about $125 billion a year, well, you know, if we could cut that down, you know, and find something that a cure that we're, you know, and a lot of this money is basically going to these chemo drugs and these radiation and chemotherapy and get that out of the process. And I'd be willing to wager that Medicare is probably covering a good portion of that. So, you know, we have to really, you know, this is something, you know, I'm a little frustrated with Congress. Well, I'm completely frustrated with Congress. That's why I'm running. But, you know, I think there's too much photo ops. I don't think they're not. I don't really think a lot of them are really looking into issues that they need to look into. I don't think either side is really doing what they need to do to, you know, to get our budget in order. And but with the FDA, you know, we're seeing a lot of different things that are going on right now that really aren't even, you know, making much sense. You know, they're doing some things under Obama's administration that are taking away, you know, generic drugs and things like that. You know, they're trying to limit the people up there. Now, why they're doing it, I don't know. But you know,
it seems like special. I mean, do you think, like, maybe this sounds conspiratorial, or maybe it's just a fact? But do you think there's so when you talk about this issue, actually, it expands into other issues. It expands into, you know, money. It expands into influence and special interests, expands into efficiency, expands into health. And so just with this one topic, we're not just talking about cancer. I mean, you've already expanded it into several other issues. And yeah, we have been doing the same thing for like the last 70 years or so, like you say. I mean, you know, do you think that there is, maybe not intentionally, but just a status quo that self-perpetuates, and you know, there'd be a lot of people put out of business if cancer was cured in the next, let's say, 10 years or whatever. I mean, what if we put a Manhattan Project type focus onto it? I mean, I would think there'd be a lot more things that are unseen now that would, you know, grow out of, you know, curing cancer. But do you think that there's actually interests that just like it the way it is?
Well, see, that's going to be one of the bigger questions that going forward, because, you know, there's a process that, you know, there's some drugs and there's a process. You know, they're basically what it is with one cancer treatment that's in process that's showing pretty good results is, you know, we have what they call T cells. You know, they're extracting their T cells from your body by blood, you know, and then they're readministering these T cells into into genetically engineered T cells. They're genetically engineering it, and then they're putting it back through by IV back into where the tumor affected area is, and that's one thing that has shown positive results. And of course, you know, there's one drug on the market right now, and it's called Opdiva, O-P-D-I-V-A, that I'm aware of. And of course, you know, where I live, I don't think that there's much, you know, they have cancer treatments around here, but I don't think that that's much around. I know MD Anderson does it. I think there's a Memorial Sloan Kettering that does it. And but you know. And that's the question too, because I listened to an interview on Saturday with, you know, they had some people that, you know, had gone through these cancer immunotherapies and you know that have had you know good positive results. Of course, not all of them does. There's been some people that have had some bad reactions. Some people have had actually died in some of these clinical trials. But you know that's why whoever's going through this, they have to know their body, they have to research things, and you know they have to decide what is best for them, because there's risk. But the other side of it is, you know, if you're in a terminal condition, I don't really see too much of what you have to lose. I know I would rather do immunotherapy than go through the chemotherapy and the radiation, and all those people that had gone through the immunotherapy on stage, you know, basically reasserted that thing. But of course, you know, there's a debate up there in the medical field right now that, well, do we want to try to, you know, put chemotherapy and you know, combine this with immunotherapy. Well, that's going to be one of the bigger challenging questions going forward. And my position is, no, I want to rid the world of chemotherapy and radiation. I want to get rid of it. And wouldn't it be nice if you just went to your local doctor and they just extracted some blood from you, and then they would re-engineer those T cells like that, and you could have those cells re-administered into your body, and you could basically go maybe some medicine after that or whatever, and instead of having this chemo, because the thing about chemotherapy obviously is people lose their hair, their immune system's destroyed. I mean the chemotherapy can even do more damage to you than what.
Yeah,
you
it
know.
Could do more damage. Yeah.
And a lot, and most people who go through the chemotherapy, of course, they have different levels of it, but most people who go through the chemotherapy, usually end up getting cancer again. So my position on that is that we need to we need to totally, especially with the cancer industry, we need to totally revolutionize this industry and focus on immunotherapy and get rid of the chemo and the radiation. That's my position. But of course that's the debate that's going to be pivotal as far as moving forward, because this immunotherapy is already working in a lot of cases. So that now there's talk. Well, should we try to implement chemotherapy with it and all this? And I say no.
Well, let me ask you, and let's get into prevention a little bit. Now, just to be clear, on your website, this is your main issue, and it does have a lot of offshoot issues like special interests and the budget and things like that. But just so people know who they're voting for, it says your name's on your website, McCarthy for Congress, 2nddistrict.com. Fellow citizens, my name is John McCarthy. I'm running as a independent for the 2nd Congressional District of State of Oklahoma. You support basic conservative principles such as lower taxes, limited government, Second Amendment, sanctity of human life. Having said that, you are running a campaign for the cure of cancer. So that is good. Now, there's just one other thing. Earlier I recommended, you can just Google Chris Beat Cancer. He has a lot of interesting things. Not saying I believe everything that he says, but there's this one other video, John, I want to ask you to, sometime when you have a chance, just look it up on YouTube. It was a TED Talk. It was someone named Lisa Rankin, who's a doctor. She had a show called Is There Scientific Proof We Can Heal Themselves? She also had another one about basically the placebo effect, and just showing, real scientific proof about the placebo effect, about people having tumors that were given sugar pills. Well, and sugar is probably not the best thing, but these tumors just went away when they believed it, and it's just, real scientific evidence about the placebo effect, our body to possibly cure ourselves. So, what about prevention? You're talking about cutting out sugar, carbohydrates. Should there be a lot more focus on prevention as well? And that might also go into the environment, in some ways. So what do you say about this, in the scope of prevention for cancer as well?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. That goes to, the quality of life at your workplace, and of course, I think that these food providers and there's certain corporations out there, that farming corporations, that need to do things in an ethical manner, such as glyphosate. I don't think that should be sprayed on our crops, and I don't think that cows should be shot up with steroids and or hormones or anything like that. So we have to make sure, number one, that our local grocery store is not going to poison us, are not going to be having pesticides on our food, that on our vegetables or crops that we're eating. That's the first thing right there. And so it all starts with your diet. If your diet's all messed up, you know, then everything else is messed up. And then after your diet, it, you know, it starts with exercise and things like that. And that, and that's where our local community has to, you know, come in, you know, have good parks to walk in, have, you know, have some fitness centers and things like that. I live out of the lake, and a lot of these areas, you know, they don't have a lot of, you know, physical activity. And, you know, a lot of people here in my district, you know, die at a relatively young age, and a lot of people die, you know, end up dying of cancer. So I obviously, you know, but that's the first thing, and that's you know, that's another thing that the federal government, they're not addressing the issue of glyphosate. Why, I don't know, but I know that there's some awful powerful people that, you know, won't, you know, that are kind of, you know, maybe have a pretty strong influence up in Washington D.C. So, you know, I think that's another thing that we've got to address up there, because if our health isn't good, if we're not healthy as a nation, then all this other stuff, these TVs and computers, and I mean, which are all great, but, you know, but we have to look at our quality of life here too, you know, as far as our health. And then, you know, obviously with Obamacare, whether you disagree with it or you agree with it, you know, these costs are running through our insurance, and these health problems, you know, are putting more costs on our society. And I know that for most people right now, their health insurance is just going through the roof. So, you know, one thing we have to kind of do to help offset that is we've got to become a healthier nation. And so I think that, you know, like as I've mentioned, you know, I believe that you know, the proper nutrition, you know, getting the right vitamins, and you know, exercise, you know, and I think your local community can play a good part of that. I'm not really so prone on the federal government just saying, you know, this or that or what have you, but I think that's something that has to kind of be looked at to make sure, you know, I think a good congressman is going to sit there and communicate well with, you know, there's a lot of cities in my district, and, you know, with each city council member to make sure that they're doing things in the right way as far as health and nutrition and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of small grocery stores and things like that that, you know, some carry organic foods and some don't. But I think that, you know, most of our vegetables and crops and things like that we're eating, you know, should be, you know, organic. And I mean, I know in the larger metropolitan areas, you know, they have Whole Foods, and they have some other, you know, good quality health grocery stores that offer organic foods. But in these smaller rural areas, kind of like where I'm at, you know, they offer there's some things that are organic, but there's not enough. And so that's an issue as far as I'm concerned, is for my district, is, you know, what kind of food and crops are do we have in our grocery store that people are eating? Because, you know, we've got to really pay attention to people's health. And I've been asked, and I've gave a response in a local newspaper that I said, you know, I believe, you know, the overall health and well-being of our nation is probably going to be one of the more challenging issues of our time going forward. And I still, you know, I stand by that. I think that, you know, in particularly with cost and things like that, you know,
go ahead.
I think, you know, like, you know, I mean, with Obamacare here lately, I've seen, you know, it's like when you go to your doctor, well, you know, you usually I used to be able to get my doctor, like, you know, within a week or whatever. Well, now, you know, if I try to, there's about a 2-month waiting list or something like that. I'm like, you know, what's going on here? I think that there's a lot of things, and, you know, and of course, you know, even with this colonoscopy stuff, you know, a lot of these doctors and with these older people, you know, they're recommending colonoscopies, and it's really not necessary, you know. And there's like about 70,000 cases of somebody getting injured from a colonoscopy, you know, and some cases resulting from death. I have a neighbor that just here recently, you know, had to have an ambulance come pick him up because of the side effects of the colonoscopy. So, You know, there's a lot of, and there's other tests out there that you know, there's what they call a CTC scan, which is less invasive and doesn't, you know, have all these other side effects, a lot more safer, which is more important. So, you know, but the average thing when you go to your local doctor, they use a one size fit all. Well, go to a colonoscopy, you know, whether you need it or not. I mean, they're recommending that left and right these days. So I would encourage everyone to at least kind of, you know, look at your options on something of that nature before you know, go through that procedure.
Yeah. Now, we have about 5 minutes, so there's a couple follow-up questions. I think one thing that would be great and make people a lot more sustainable and a lot more responsible is I wish everyone would grow more food and have their own garden and maybe, you know, get at least like 25% of what they eat from something that they grow themselves, you know, seasonally or whatever. That would be absolutely great. And it'd probably help them with their grocery bills too. And in the long term, make them feel good about themselves and just on and on. But now let me ask you, John, are there any debates in your district? Do you have any coming up? And so how is that aspect of the campaign going in this final 40 days or so that we have left to the election day?
There's some forums. Basically, you know, there's one forum next week in a town called Salisaw, Oklahoma. And in this forum, there's probably going to be, you know, like, I think, well, of course, they had the state representatives and things like that out there. And so, you know, I do plan on attending, you know, some of these forums that are coming up, you know, here pretty soon.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's good. And so you are the only third-party candidate. And, again, we've been talking with John McCarthy, an independent for the U.S. House of Representatives, District Number 2 in Oklahoma, giving people a choice besides Republican or Democrats. And he's the only third-party option. He's basically running on a platform against how we've been approaching cancer in society for the last 70 years and wants to bring some new ideas to Congress. So, you know, please take a look at his campaign. John, who are some of your favorite past or present people, elected or not, if you don't mind sharing that with us?
Well, I can tell you probably my favorite candidate. And, of course, he wasn't elected. You know, that was Ross Perot. I really felt like I really was disappointed when he, you know, wasn't able to become president, because I think he, you know, would have been one of the greatest presidents that we ever had. And, of course, you know, one of his major concerns was, you know, was this growing debt that we have, and that he, of course, that didn't. You know, I think he really would have addressed this issue and got things paid off, and I think we'd have been a lot, you know, better off, you know, with him as president. You know, one of the things that he said was, you know, that every time we pass a law, a certain amount of freedom is taken away from our society, and you know, I find that's so true. And of course, he was also against NAFTA, which is a big issue. National issue in this campaign. You know, he said, you know, passing, you know, at that time, you know, that's when Congress was getting ready to you know, they were debating over NAFTA, and of course the national media and everybody else, oh, NAFTA is just going to be wonderful. Well, you know, that hasn't turned out to be so true. But he came in there and he said, basically his quote off that, he said, you're going to hear a giant sucking sound of jobs being shipped out of the U.S. economy. And of course, you know, that's you know, we've seen that to be true. So I really have liked Ross Perot. I thought, you know, contrary to, I know that there's going to probably be a lot of people that disagree with this statement, but I did like George Bush, you know, because the second one. I thought he handled things real well with 9/11. I thought he got a bad shake out there with a lot of things, but I did like him. But you know, I mean, he just had some bad events that happened on his watch, and so I liked him. And so those two are kind of the real favorites. I haven't really been too impressed with a lot of these other. Our government for quite some time, to be honest, particularly the last 8 years. I just think that the debt that they've run up from 10 to almost $20 trillion is just ridiculous. And I don't think they don't seem to understand that they're, you know, this is serious business. And I'm also concerned about our Federal Reserve, you know, that with these negative some of these central banks all across the United States or the world that are having negative interest rates. And I don't see the level of concern on either side, really. The Republicans kind of sit there and say, oh, show some concern, but there's not that sense of urgency that they've really got to kind of address that. You know, we're running $500 billion of debt a year right now. It's going to be $20 trillion by the time Obama gets out of office. So we've got some serious
problems. Yeah, we don't want to reach past that event horizon, per se, where there's no coming back. And that is, I'm sorry to put a pun here, but kind of like analogous to, you know, a cancer in our society in another way. I mean, we keep wanting the sugar, which is, you know, deficit spending, and a little bit of sugar can be good sometimes, but, you know, too much of it, and then it controls you. And of course, Ross Perot was the independent candidate in 1992, who after the first debate was number one in the polls in a three-way race. He dropped out, but he came back in, and on election day, he got 19%, I think one of the highest ever for a third-party candidate since, of course, I think Abraham Lincoln, who won. But John, it has been a pleasure. I hope you have, you know, much success in your campaign and you know, who knows, maybe a victory. And so good luck in that. And people, again, can find out more information at McCarthyForCongress2nd District.com. John, it has been a pleasure. Any final words of wisdom before we end the interview right now?
Well, I believe that, you know, I think this is a great interview. I think it's a great process. I think it's what you're doing is great because, you know, I've watched some of your other candidates, and I think that people really have to start, you know, I'm not saying to vote for them, but I think they ought to start taking a look at these independent candidates. I like that John Sawyer from Florida, and I like that other guy from Wisconsin. I like both of those, and I think that they had some, you know, that's really what we need up there. We don't need people that's got the Harvard education and all that. They'll be just fine. We need just good, ordinary, common folks to kind of get something done up there.
Yeah, more regular people. Some of these guys were entrepreneurs. Some of them are veterans. They're definitely qualified. They're only third party. We're not telling people who to vote for. Rather, just promoting that a responsible media will cover these people who have earned being on the ballot, that will cover them equally and let the chips fall where they may, you know?
After this process, I think I'm definitely going to start taking a look at, well, number one, I'm going to start looking. It's kind of awakened me because I'm going to start taking a more closer look at everybody that's representing me on the ballot. And I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to, with the internet, you can do that. You can research them and do, you know, research the issues. And that's one thing that's kind of opened my eyes a little bit more, is to really pay more of attention as to who is on the ballot. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, research early, vote early. I mean, people can vote early, and then they can look at their Department of Elections for their state, find out who's on the ballot a month before, not, you know, the day before. Well, John, good to talk to you today, and take care. It was
okay.
A pleasure. We appreciate your time, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Thomas.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.